What's up, people? Welcome back to Rebranding Safety, the YouTube channel and podcast translating health and safety to help you save lives and save money. Today we're talking about, well, we're going to talk about patience and instant gratification, but it's going to be off the hoof because to say this podcast has had a few technical issues would be a massive understatement. Let's elaborate in the podcast.
Health and safety is almost a victim of its own success.
Weird and oppressive regime of health and safety regulation.
A huge fire engulfs a tower block in London.
Children being forced to wear goggles to play conkers at school.
Worst oil field disaster, 164 dead.
Rebranding Safety, the modern health and safety podcast, crushing a stereotype. And your host, James McPherson. So, welcome to Rebranding Safety. If you're new, if you're not new, then welcome back, people. You've not heard from just me for a while. We've had a lot of interviews, and for me, that's been difficult. It's something that I pride myself on, being a podcast that actually produces some content. There's a lot of podcasts out there. If you're watching on YouTube, excuse me, I'm just putting some pillows behind my back. There we go. There's a lot of podcasts out there they just interview people and they bring people on, and those guests provide the value. You know, the host actually doesn't really provide any value. So that's something I'm quite proud of, that I actually provide some value myself. I think you tell me whether it's valuable or not. And I've not been able to do that for a while because basically the mic that you can see if you're watching on YouTube and the mic that you can now hear, which is hopefully better than what you've heard for a while. Well, from what I can hear, and I'm hard of hearing, so I can tell it's better. But it's basically, it comes out of what you would call an XLR cable into an interface. That interface then goes into my laptop. Well, the interface was brand new and the interface stopped working. It just so happened that we had a lot of interviews ready, and I could just use a hands-free on a Skype call, which was, thank God, which was okay. I apologize for the historical topsy-turvy audio on this podcast, and if you're listening on the podcast and not watching on YouTube, I understand how annoying that must be, because, well, you're just listening, not watching. So the fact that the audio quality is crap probably hinders the podcast quite a lot. Anyway, I'm normally sitting here with a cup of tea or a glass of juice, whereas today I have a rum and lemonade, so don't judge. And yes, I'm recording on a Sunday, the day before this published. Why? Well, another technical issue. So today you were meant to be hearing a potentially awesome podcast. Well, I know it was awesome because I was on the conversation with Jason Anker, who was amazing that he was on the podcast. And embarrassingly, this morning I had to message him saying, by any chance, have you got the raw audio from our conversation, because I had it all downloaded in the file. Something's happened, the file was corrupt, and it had gone over the 30-day period to download it from Skype, so it's gone. That's it. To say I'm pissed off about it would be a massive understatement as well. So that was slightly annoying. Then today, we've just done I've just done like a bulk recording day over about 3 or 4 hours of the YouTube stuff. If you're not subscribed to YouTube, and I know a lot of you that listen to this podcast aren't, because there's a disproportionate gap in the subscriptions on the podcast or average audience side of the podcast compared to the average audience / subscription of YouTube. So get your ass over to YouTube, people. Anyway, so we just recorded a load of Toolbox Talk Tuesday stuff, which is like the more YouTube style videos as opposed to these podcasts, which are also on video. So we're going to briefly talk about patience and instant gratification today. Why are we talking about that? Well, because I haven't planned anything and it was just something that came to my mind whilst I was on a bike ride today. So absolutely surprised that I could get a bike ride in today. For those of you that don't know, I'm taking up bike riding this summer. Absolutely loving it. Something I've dabbled with in the past. Really enjoying it so far. So we'll wait and see. Not massive bike rides, only doing like 10 miles at the moment. Nothing crazy. But when I'm on bike riding, so it's road biking, when I'm on my bike, the impatience of drivers is phenomenal. And it made me think about my driving. Am I impatient of a driver? I think I definitely am. And I was today. So today, pretty much had on my agenda a hell of a lot of stuff. Got so much to do this weekend, and I've done barely any of it. And I woke up late this morning, and I was already behind, you know, on the back foot. And you know what it's like when you start a day on the back foot. It's absolutely horrendous. And then I had to go to my friends, pick up a turbo trainer for the bike, and then go to like the shop. And I was supposed to go to see my grandma as well, who's not been very well. And just absolutely massive agenda for the day. And I woke up late, which is annoying. By the time I walked the dog, it was like lunchtime. By the time I got to my friends, it was like 1 o'clock. Went to Sports Direct. They didn't have what I wanted to get the wife some new shoes. And do you know what? It was just, I was on the back foot. And when I think about this kind of, managed to get out on the bike. Why did I manage to get out on the bike if I'm that busy? That's a good question. Well, because the camera battery ran out and I've only got one battery. So I had nothing to do. So I just swung out on my bike for an hour. So when I'm on my bike, to get to the point, when I'm on the bike, everyone's like really impatient, like overtaking on corners, like overtaking on blind corners, like overtaking when there's cars on the other side of the road. And it just seemed to be, you know, you'd think easy Sunday driving, you'd think everyone would be a bit more chill. Let's have a glass of rum, sorry. A swig of rum, sorry. But there weren't. It was like everyone was desperate to get home. Anyway, so that made me thinking about my driving today, because I was late and I was just the same. I was exactly the same. You know, rushing everywhere. And it kind of reminds me of like reading Mind Your Own Business book, where they talk about learned helplessness, and you feel so, and they mentioned about like how safe you feel in a car. You know, we do feel, or I feel, so safe in a car that we take so many risks. You know, if when I'm on my bike and I'm doing 30 miles an hour down a hill, I'm fucking shitting myself. But yet in a car, 30 miles an hour, I feel like I'm crawling. And it's just, you seem to lose all perspective because you can't feel the wind in your hair, maybe, and stuff like that. And it's a strange world. So that got me thinking about impatientness in work, and how, and instant gratification as well, as we all kind of have. You know, I could order a takeaway on my phone now, and believe me, I really, really want to, but I'm going to go make dinner in a minute once I've done this. You know, we can order a takeaway on a phone. It's within here like 40 minutes. I don't even have to leave the sofa. If I've got my wallet in my back pocket, I don't have to move. And you know, sometimes I think, oh God, I might not order it because my wallet's upstairs. I can't be bothered. And it's just crazy. So how does that affect health and safety? I think that kind of culture of instant gratification, that desire for instant gratification, leads us to be impatient. And I find it funny, like over the years, like the amount of times that you highlight something. So you might start a new job and you might be like, oh my God, you've not got this. And when they realize I haven't had something for 10 years and they want it yesterday. And I just think the amount of businesses that do something that they want yesterday and they do it wrong, or they do it shit, or they do it half-assed, because everything's got to be given here yesterday. Everything's got to be here instantly. And I just think, God, if we just took a step back and calmed down, and yes, maybe we're taking on a risk by doing it slowly and properly, but like, can we not mitigate risk and do it properly, etc., etc.? But it's just crazy, isn't it? Like, you know, it's all going on with the cladding as well around Grenfell, and you know, all these conversations about, you know, no one once mentioned about replacing the white goods of people in these flats. That was where the fire started. That was your ignition source. No one once has gone, I'm going to just replace everyone's white goods for free. 3-year warranty. Just going to do it for free. There you go. That's it. Once you got it, it's yours. but it's all brand new. I've reduced the chance of ignition. That gives me more time to be able to deal with the cladding properly. Granted, no one's putting their finger in their pocket anyway, so that's probably what's causing the problem here. But you know, people don't seem to be able to take a step back. It's like we look at everything with blinkers on. We can only look at the one issue. We can only look at that single problem and not take a step back and be patient. You know, we want everything yesterday. We can't be patient and we can't open our eyes a little bit. And I just wonder, you know, how do we fix stuff like that? I really don't know. I'm no psychologist, as you probably can tell from listening to this bloody podcast. But I think I'm really fascinated by two things. I'm really fascinated by mindfulness. And I'm, you know, I still, not battle, but I still try and force myself to be more mindful and really think about, you know, the repercussions of my actions. You really think about what I'm doing or be mindful in the moment, you know, to appreciate dog walking when I'm walking, you know, appreciate the air and the ground and stuff and just be in the moment. I am a bit fascinated by that and the benefits it could bring. And I think that's kind of what I really enjoy about cycling is that for some reason, there's something around cycling. I don't really think about anything else, whereas playing rugby and running and anything else, I'm always thinking about something else, which is interesting. So then how do we look at that from a business point of view? I think like being mindful and safety is being mindful in the moment and really thinking about what this machinery does or, you know, what could go wrong and really considering everything. So what's mindfulness from a management point of view is like what's the effect this having on my team? You know, who do I need to involve? Who is effective? Be mindful of the culture, mindful of the business, mindful of the attitudes, mindful of the people in the business. And I'm really fascinated by the potential of that concept if we could all really get it. I think it's got some real legs and I think it's got some real power. I'm also a little bit fascinated by the concept of minimalism at the moment. Now, I am definitely not a minimalist. Like, Jesus Christ, I have got so much crap. So much. But I do like the concept of it, in only having stuff in your life that brings value to your life, which is really interesting. You know, I'm a person that gets sucked in by brands and sucked in by sales and stuff like that. And you've got to have that brand. And I battle with that because I'm also quite a tight ass and I don't like spending the money on the stuff. So it's like a constant battle in my head. But when I think of it from a safety point of view, it's like, or a business point of view even, it's kind of like only having stuff in your business, in your safety systems, your safe systems of work, whatever you want to call it, that really bring value. And I think maybe if we were to take on the concept of minimalism in a business and that we only have something that brings value, I really wonder how much signage and procedures and paperwork and bureaucracy and risk assessments would we actually get rid of the next day? I think quite a lot. I really do. I think, I'll just have another swig of rum. It's been a long weekend. I really do think we create a lot of our problems by thinking that we're fixing our problems by implementing a risk assessment. The amount of risk assessments I see that infuriate me because they mean nothing and they do nothing, and that actually the people that wrote them and the people that read them don't really understand how to assess risk. And it's just infuriating, and I just think this brings no value. And when I think about like kind of that bringing value, I think back to when I was working in manufacturing. I remember we had an incident around like a power tool. And I think I've spoke about this in a podcast before. And if I have, I apologise. But I've got really itchy nose today. So I'm sorry if you're watching on YouTube. I keep picking an itch in my nose. I think it's hay fever setting in. Bit late though, isn't it? Anyway. What am I saying? Yeah, So I was working in manufacturing. We had an incident with a power tool, and I remember thinking that the cause, quite naively, you know, when I look back on that now, it's embarrassing to kind of tell you all, but I remember thinking that a control measure and potentially the cause of the incident was that it wasn't checked before use, and we put like this check in place, and I made this form, and I really liked my forms and spreadsheets back then. I still am partial to a good spreadsheet, but I put it in place. And anyway, I remember going back, like, I think 2 years later, and doing an exercise to reduce paperwork in the business off my own back. Just went, we've got so much health and safety paperwork, we need to get rid of some. And that was one. And I think we had like two that were filled out, and it was so embarrassing, but it was also a real eye opener. And I think back on it now, and I think I learned a lot in that moment. And then, you know, but that doesn't mean to not implement paperwork. We had a system that we also installed in the same place that was via paperwork, that was kind of like a handover system of machine, because we had like an engineer that worked on a machine, and it, I can't remember what the minutiae of the incident was, but I think it might have been a near miss or something. But basically, like, an engineer working on a machine but hadn't been able to finish it, so there was one part not working. But when the new shift operator took on the machine, they didn't know, because the first shift hadn't handed it over from them to them. They didn't know the issue, and that's a really shit way of explaining it. But basically, the engineer handed it over to the current shift. They understood, carried on. When they handed it over to the next shift, there was no communication. So we said, well, what if we'd be able to record that? And each machine had a logbook, like a daily logbook. So we just tweaked the daily logbook to have that engineer handover bit and engineering comments. And we had to then get into the culture of people just checking back through the day and seeing what was going on with their machine and seeing if there was any issues. And it actually, I believe, actually ended up being quite a good tool for the business to be able to use and go back on. Would I do it differently? Maybe I would, looking at it now. I don't know. It's a long time since I was there. I would be really interested to see if they still use it. So if there's anyone listening to the podcast who still works at that manufacturing plant, then let me know. You're probably going to message me on Facebook or LinkedIn or something saying, no, it was shit and it doesn't work, and that's fine. Let me know why. So I think back onto it, and I think that you've really got to be self-critical of your work and self-aware and be able to ask yourself critically, you know, is this providing value? And I think businesses can hold safety professionals to account, and I think workers can hold businesses to account for that, and really asking themselves, does this provide value? If it does, then I'm going to do it as a worker. If it doesn't, I'm still going to do it, but I'm going to raise, you know, my queries and so on and so forth. I think just it's interesting, like, I'm currently doing my diploma, as you probably know, and I've got an assignment this week on stress, which is ironic because I've only got 2 weeks to write the assignment, and it's stressing me the fuck out. But that aside, it was interesting to see on there was kind of like these little portfolios of people that I potentially have to convince, and one was like a manager or a board member that just thinks that health and safety is bureaucracy and another thing to do. And then that made me think about the interview with David McLean, where he refers to his scheme and his program that he implements as not another thing to do, but freedom, and being a better version of yourself, which was really interesting. And what's it take to get health and safety there? I think it takes a little bit of patience from us all. I think it takes us being mindful of what we're doing and really asking if we're providing value to the business. You know, are we doing something because we feel like we should? Are we doing something because, you know, we're covering our ass as opposed to actually making somewhere safer? Because if we're just covering our ass, does that really provide us any value whatsoever? We're never going to know until it's too late. And if it's too late, well, then that implies that it didn't provide any value. So I do think we all need a bit of patience. I think if we had some patience in so many of the businesses that I've worked for, we might have done stuff a lot better, I think. Because we would just take a step back and just, you know, open our eyes and really consider, what are we doing here? So that was completely off the hoof. That's about 20 minutes. I'm going to go make dinner for the wife now. Not a real clue what that's going to be. I'm probably just going to wing something like a salad. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. If you haven't already, and I know some of you haven't, like I mentioned earlier, because the average audience size of the podcast is disproportionately larger than the YouTube subscriptions, get your ass over and give me a subscribe, watch a couple of videos. If you're listening to this podcast whilst you're making your dinner and you've got a smart TV in your kitchen, why don't you just put it on YouTube? Help a brother out. Know what I'm saying? Also, share the podcast, people, because I know you're still embarrassed that you're listening to Health and Safety Podcast and you don't want to admit it, but I was told today by a friend of mine that it is actually quite interesting, so please share it. If you listen on iTunes, give us a rating, a review. We really, really appreciate it. If you do that, screenshot it, tweet me, Instagram me, etc., at Rebranded Safety or Safety Rebranded, one of those. I always get them mixed up. Check us out. Come find us on Facebook, Rebranded Safety. Been a bit off the hoof, this one. We'll give you some much better content in the coming weeks. I hope the audio sounds better now we have fixed our technical issues. I'll catch you next week in next week's podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. Safe.